If you've just stumbled upon this podcast, you should know that Elise and I have done over 100 episodes covering the entire Sex and the City series, as well as the first movie. So check those out and make sure to change your settings to play in sequential order. Also, check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Here's the show.
Hi, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
Can you believe that we're actually doing this?
Sex and the City, the movie, the twosie.
The twosie, the real number two of movies.
Yikes.
Oh, let's save it. I mean,
well, here's the thing.
Okay.
When everyone has told me, including my therapist, when I said, oh, we're going to watch Sex and the City 2, you don't have to. I'm like, no, but I do. And to be fair, until they got to Abu Dhabi, I was like, this isn't that bad, everyone.
I will forever insist. First of all, I don't hate this movie. Like, I don't love it. I don't think it's nearly as good as the first one. I think that there are some real problematic moments, especially once they get to Abu Dhabi. But I will forever insist that with some cutting, there's like a good 100-minute movie in there.
Yeah, but with a lot of cutting and a lot of like, I don't think they should have gone to Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, I don't mind them going, though I didn't need them to. Just some of the things that happen. Well, we'll get
90% of the things that happen. And also, it's interesting because I like to Google articles and such, and like just try to find fun facts and things like that. All you can find if you Google Sex and the City 2 is like revisiting the worst movie ever made.
Yeah, it's really funny. I am like 95% positive that Entertainment Weekly had a cover story about this, because why wouldn't they? Mm. And I've subscribed to Entertainment Weekly since like the 90s. And I save two or three issues every year, usually like the Oscar issue and the year wrap-up issue. I actually save them. I have them in like a drawer in my living room. And A, I couldn't find this there. And I can't imagine I wouldn't have saved it. But I couldn't even find it like on their website. Very strange.
Yeah. Well, did you read Robert Ebert's review?
I read, if you Wikipedia it, there are some
really good
horrendous reviews of this movie.
I mean,
people that hated this movie hated this movie.
I mean, his review was pretty incredible.
Yeah, it's fine. I take some issue with some of the things that he says, but maybe we'll deal with reviews at the end.
Okay.
So we have Sex and the City 2. This was written and directed by Michael Patrick King. This came out almost exactly to the day, 2 years after the first movie. He's sort of insisted that when he wrote the first movie, he had no intention of there ever being a sequel. Mm. I don't know if that's true or not, but the way that people reacted to the first movie just made him want the party to keep going, is what he said. So, but it must have been a fairly quick turnaround to like write and produce and get this film made in 2 years. So we start with Alicia Keys. We're in the clouds.
Yep, opens with New York State of Mind. This was a thing. This song was huge, and it kind of happened as I moved to New York. I don't know the exact date of when this song came out, but I just remember it was like a huge thing.
Yeah, it was a very big song. Concrete jungle where dreams are made of. It's fine, I'll just let it go for now. But that doesn't mean anything, Alicia. Concrete jungle.
So it opens with the New York State of Mind, and then we switch to the Labels for Love.
Yeah, it ends up sounding a lot like the Fergie one
right, from
the first movie, and then just different lyrics come on.
Yeah. I have captions on. So
oh,
it
gotcha.
Says, playing new Labels for Love. So that's
gotcha.
Why I was like, oh, that's what it's called. And remember when I used to get really excited when it said, like, Steve Eigenberg? Like,
uh-huh,
playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody told me Liza Minnelli. My roommate happened to be in the room when I was watching it, and he knows that I have to stop as we go. And, like, just the credits are rolling, and he just starts cracking up because he sees Liza Minnelli, and me press pause and just write on my notes, Liza Minnelli.
Yeah, it's pretty funny because I did write Liza is in the opening credits. I also wrote so is John Corbett.
Yeah, I noticed that, and I was like, well, okay.
Yeah, and I did go back and watch the trailer, and they're both in the trailer.
Okay.
So none of those were actually spoilers, if you remembered the trailer, but I didn't either. So once I remember watching the opening, I remember just today when I was watching the opening credits being like, are we supposed to know they're in this movie?
Well, I wasn't surprised because I knew that there isn't a third movie. So I thought, of course, there would be like an Aiden. They would probably try to get back almost anyone they could, except Skipper.
Oh, poor Skipper.
So, yes. Anyway, so then...
So we're listing just sort of random New York things.
Wall Street, electric lights, newspapers, Ellis Island, the Yankees, Central Park, and the First World's Fair.
But what I hate about this is, like, yeah, so they're listing all these New York City things, like the Chrysler Building and all these Broadway, they even say. And she's like, everything is New York City, BC, before Carrie. I'm like, yes, Carrie, because of the, before you, none of that exists. Like, it's like, because of you, none of that will no longer exist.
They also get a lot of mileage out of the Chrysler Building. Like, we're on that building for a long time. I guess they like how it sparkles. Yeah, so Carrie requires two doormen. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but
no,
she needed two to open the doors for her.
Well, that makes sense.
And she talks about arriving at exactly 3:30 on Tuesday, June 11th, 1986, which was a Wednesday.
Yeah, I figured that. I saw that too. I arrived September 21st, 2008.
I arrived April 2nd, 2000. Is that right? Yeah. Wow.
And she's been yelling for cabs the whole time.
I wrote that too. Yeah. I was right. We get to the 80s flashbacks where she's still yelling for a cab. She met Charlotte first.
In 1987.
Carrie's very Madonna. Charlotte could be wearing that same thing now.
Yeah.
Also, they refer to Carrie's first look as her flash dance look, which I get, but I feel like it's more of a Glenn Close Fatal Attraction look.
Okay. I haven't
just
seen it.
Putting that out there. Fatal Attraction is my favorite romantic comedy. So Miranda comes along in 89 when Carrie worked at Bloomingdale's.
With a mushroom cut.
And if you thought Miranda looked crazy in the first few seasons of the series.
That... We're like,
that whole outfit.
Yeah, and they're like, what do you want us to do with your hair today? I don't know. Make it look like a penis.
It's really terrible. There's unlike the first movie where there's like tons of extra stuff on the DVDs, this has literally two bonus features. It has a look at the soundtrack, and it has a look at these 80s flashbacks. Mm. And I guess they just wanted something that looked like it could be real, that you wouldn't necessarily know was a wig, but that would be funny. Like, she wanted it to be a gag. Like, she wanted you to laugh as soon as you saw it, which one does.
And she was crying in the dressing room, which Miranda does.
Yeah, that is true. Oh, that's a habit of hers. So we learned that Samantha was a bartender at CBGB's.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of it.
Yeah.
She came last, which if you... I have
but
never
she also
seen
looks
the Carrie
like she
Diaries.
Could... Oh, okay.
But in the Carrie Diaries, Carrie meets Samantha first.
Oh.
So just a little flippity-do that they did for that TV series.
I thought Samantha looked like Dee Snider.
Yeah, I think they were going for like Twisted Sister. That
That's
kind of
Dee Snider.
Yeah, that Dee Snider, yeah. So that you got it. That's what
oh,
they're
I did.
Going for, yeah. So they're at Bergdorf Goodman's, and
right.
we find out that a friend is getting married.
Right, and the way they shot this, they try to make you think it's going to be Samantha.
Yes.
But it's not.
And in fact, apparently, every once in a while, Kim Cattrall would show up to set in a wedding dress.
I saw that.
So, there you go. We're laying the trap there. But it's not. It's Stanford and Anthony.
Her best gay friend is marrying my best gay friend. How did this even happen? I thought they hated each other.
It's like musical chairs. The music stopped, and they were the last two left standing.
Just when you thought everyone you knew was too old to get married, here come the gays.
I was just like, of course, that's how it works with gays. Mike, how many times growing up with someone like, I know a gay person, you should marry them?
Well, not growing up, per se.
You know what I mean.
But certainly in college.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. They'd be like, oh, I know someone. I'd be like, I get that. Yeah, that doesn't really actually work that way. But I guess in this case, they were the last two standing. I think this is kind of nonsense, but you have to just sort of buy into it for the plot line anyways. So
that they got married.
That they got married, that they fell in love. And it's, I guess it happens.
That love exists.
That love even exists. I'm not buying into that. So we're at the inn at Drake Point.
Not real.
Not a real place.
But it's in Connecticut.
I don't think they filmed this in, or at least they filmed the interior in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
It's a soundstage.
Right. I saw that too. We did a lot of research.
We did do a lot of, well, there's not much to do.
Connecticut, do you think Lainey's there?
Oh, she's just in the background somewhere.
Yeah,
she's
drinking.
Just boozing it up in the background.
Now, an interesting thing that happened is they say in Connecticut where it was legal, and it dawned on me that gay marriage was not legal in New York at this time.
Correct. I want to say that Connecticut is where I drove with my friends when they were getting married.
I remember a lot of weddings in Connecticut.
Yeah.
I grew up in Detroit, and I remember Canada was a thing, too.
Oh, okay.
Because Canada had gay marriage that was illegal.
Canada has everything.
Canada has everything. They used to have pizza at McDonald's, and they have 5-pin bowling, and you can drink there when you're 19.
I wonder if I was at the airport in Detroit because I remember being at an airport McDonald's and they had pizza, and I was like, that's really strange. And I wonder if I was passing through somewhere near
I don't know if I've never seen pizza in a McDonald's in Michigan.
Interesting. So I definitely did it in an airport once. Anyways, neither here nor there. They're both in ties.
Big and Carrie is who he's talking about. Yeah, I thought, oh, good. Big is still in the picture. And this is when they are like, okay, guys, how many times can we say gay wedding in one sentence?
Yeah. Carrie's the best man.
Yeah, and I was immediately annoyed with, like, the gay wedding, gay wedding, novelty gay, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, she does say it's just a wedding.
Will you please stop referring to this as a gay wedding?
Well, isn't it a gay wedding?
Well, yes, but it's not just a gay wedding. Mm-hmm. It's Stanford and Anthony's wedding.
Mm, got it.
Yeah, it's to set up the fact that it ends up being a very gay wedding.
And I had a lot of course, issues with this because I hate, you know, as I'm sure we all do. I hate this idea of, like, the gay thing being a novelty and, like, it's a gay wedding and how fun. I remember when gay marriage was finally legal and, like, everyone's like, my first gay wedding. And I'm like, it's just a wedding. It's right. A wedding. And, like, this isn't, I don't know, but I used to be like that too in high school when girls would be like, I want my gay best friend. I'm like, just, they're a person. They're not a, you know.
I remember Shonda.
And then I got 43 of them.
Yeah, you did get a lot of them. Remember Shonda Rhimes talking about that with How to Get Away with Murder, when people would talk about the gay sex scenes, and she'd be like, they're just sex scenes.
Yeah, but on the other side of that, I also see how important it is that they showed a gay wedding in 2010 in a major motion picture.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, I get that. Like, that's awesome, and I'm watching this 10 years later with a different set of eyes. So that doesn't get lost on me either. But, you know, Carrie looks like Riff Raff from Rocky Horror.
Oh, you know, I've never seen Rocky Horror. Mm. I guess I think I know which one Riff Raff is.
It's the one that looks like Carrie right
gotcha.
Now.
Gotcha. Oh, that one.
And it's funny because I said that out loud and my roommate said, oh my gosh, she does. I'm like, am I thinking of the right one? He goes, you are, but do you want me to correct you when you're not? Because I don't want to, because he knows, like, that I do that.
Oh, right, right, right.
So when they first get to, and she says, John, get over it.
Right, that is true. I never refer to him as John ever on here. He's always going to be big for the
right,
record.
Right, and, well, we'll get there. We'll get to something that
I do see that Carrie suddenly cares about being on time to a friend's wedding.
I have to be there in an hour. I'm the best man.
Oh, yeah, that's look nice. At that. Well, it's Danny.
She's growing.
That's her BFF.
True.
Her hair's a lot.
Her hair is a lot. It also does change. She has different hair here than she's going to have at the actual ceremony.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wish that her outfit was a little bit sexier, almost. Like, I just feel she looks like a cater waiter, like a Bob Mackie cater waiter. Because then she's like, let me put on the finishing touch. And she puts on that crown, I'm like, okay, so it's Cher. So then we get to the wedding.
Yeah, it's a very ornate with a moat and swans.
Mm-hmm. And a chorus that is not the New York City gay men's chorus.
It's just every
Broadway
chorus member from Broadway.
Yeah.
I do write here, we're about to see half of the men who have ever been on Broadway.
Right. I mean, it's just like they're like, who are some of the most attractive men on Broadway?
I started to list and then I was like, it's too many of them.
They all are still, and the interesting thing is like, they're all still, not that it's interesting, but they're all still working very steadily.
Many of them are much more well known now than they were 10 years
right.
ago.
And it's just interesting to see. It's like they all kind of have all have successful careers. Usually it's like, remember that person? Yes, it's not the New York City Gay Men's Chorus. That was my initial response. And then my roommate immediately got the New York City Gay Men's Chorus historian via text, who said it is not.
Yes, it was not. But they are singing If Ever I Should Leave You.
Yes.
We're going to hear a lot of Broadway.
Miranda's dress.
Describe it. I don't really remember
it. I love it.
Okay.
It's like red, golden, like cut to there.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I love it. I just wrote it. It's amazing.
Miranda references looking into the sun because everything is very, very white. Mm. We get to, like, it's not just beautiful. It's Lady Di. Lily's there. Same old Lily. Samantha shows up with her dog because what's one more bitch with an attitude? Charlotte does call on them to be a little more PC,
mm-hmm.
which I think is funny. I guess that's sort of their commentary on themselves.
Right.
Even Anthony thinks it's a bit much.
Can you believe this place? It looks like the Snow Queen exploded.
So you're not the wedding planner?
Hell to the no. I pulled out when Stanford mentioned swans. Finally, I just threw up my arms. Whatever he wants, give it to him. Stanford gets the wedding of his dreams and I get to cheat. And don't give me that face, Char. Just because I'm getting married doesn't mean I have to change who I am.
We then have a cheating conversation, and every couple has the right to make up their own rules. I do like Charlotte's reaction of, like, not really, it's marriage.
Yeah. But also, like, you know, who are we to say? I know plenty of happy couples that have open relationships, and I don't think it's cheating if you have discussed it.
Yeah, you'd have to, like, discuss things and have rules. And we're gonna get more into this in the next scene, because we get to Stanford now, who is wearing white like a virgin.
Mm-hmm. I love Steve, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Wait, did I skip over Steve? I was like, Steve is there being Steve.
Yeah, I wrote, I love Steve. 8 years later, she's finally a Jew.
Yeah, okay.
And, ooh, a music man change, because they go into Till There Was You.
Yes.
Yes, and then we go into Stanford, a.k.a. Charles Dickens' character.
And then the quote is, when are swans ever too much? Here, in this situation. The swans are too much.
Yeah.
This is when they're too much. We learned that Stanford was once hooked on coke.
Did I miss that?
I guess so. So remember that summer that I was hooked on coke?
Oh, yes.
I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I got it.
All right, Sani, glad you're better.
That makes sense.
Sure, absolutely.
I mean, Stanford totally was hooked on cocaine.
And then Carrie brings up Anthony's declaration. Mm-hmm. So now we kind of get into it with Stanford.
Yeah.
And his whole idea that, like, he just needs to have that. Like, maybe, like, he probably won't ever actually cheat.
He hates the tradition, so he pushes against it.
So he is allowed to cheat?
Yes, but only in the 45 states where we're not legally married.
We see that it's the first time Carrie sees her name.
Yeah, she's down as Carrie Preston. And we sort of talk about taking names and how, like, well, we're not going to do that because we're gay and we don't do that. And I don't know. I don't get the name-taking thing, for the record. I'm not a woman that's ever going to marry a man, so it's not important that I have a strong opinion on it. I don't know if I got married if I would want to change my name. I have friends that have done both. We both have friends that have hyphenated.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the process of hyphenating now to Elise Castle Jensen.
Just to make it official.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie has a hat.
Yeah. Carrie, that is Carrie's Cher hat.
I guess I can see that. I see what you're talking about. Yeah. It's a bit much, but yeah, it's Carrie.
Yeah, and she, because it comes up because of the Carrie Preston thing, but the hat says Bradshaw. Hmm. So now we go to Fiddler on the Roof.
I should put Fiddler with an exclamation mark and a question mark.
Sunrise, sunset. Yeah. It is the marriage.
Yeah, so this is as Lily's the flower girl.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's funny how we have sort of a close-up on the guys singing on the phrase, we gaze.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
Hot straight guy with Carrie.
That's Anthony's brother, Nicky.
How can you tell that he's straight?
It's a gift.
Did you recognize this actor?
No, who is it?
So this actor's name, Anthony's brother, is Nicky.
Okay.
He's played by Noah Mills. And the first credit that popped out, the only one that I really know him from, is he was the embodiment of Fly Miami Bro 22 on Pen 15.
Oh!
When she's imagining who she thinks mm-hmm. that she's talking to. If you guys haven't seen Pen 15, it's pretty fantastic.
It's my favorite thing. Like, if you want to know what Elise Castle was in middle school, I am Anna.
Yeah, the women that play the leads are so brilliant. And yeah, this guy is the embodiment of a certain character.
I like, they're like, do you recognize this actor?
Because of course you wouldn't.
Yeah, I'm looking like Fly Miami, bro.
Oh, it made me really happy when I saw that. And I wrote, and here's Liza.
Could this wedding get any gay? I mean, this is the only moment when I was like, okay, you can talk about it being a gay wedding again. When they say, like, can this wedding get any gayer? And then, like, Liza comes out.
Did you see that there are four different readings happening? That feels like a lot of readings. We have a program we see at one point.
Yes.
And there's a first reading by Nicholas Marentino, a second reading by Evelyn Blatch, a third reading by Carmela Marentino, and then a fourth reading by Carrie Bradshaw.
That's actually not, I don't think, that strange in a non-religious wedding.
Okay.
Because a lot of times in, like, a non-religious wedding, like, someone will just come up and be like, I'm going to read this poem, and then I'm going to read this thing, and then I'm going to read this, as opposed to, like, because it didn't look like there was a minister there. That was in one of the reviews I read, but they're like, we don't even talk about Liza Minnelli's credentials as being able to do this. And it's like, okay, shut up. This isn't real.
Liza Minnelli's marrying them. I think that's right. As crazy enough as we needed to get.
Yeah.
We see that the recession song is going to be Don't Rain on My Parade.
Yeah, I love that.
Look who's marrying me. Why would Liza say yes to this? It's a law of physics. Anytime there's this much gay energy in one room, Liza manifests.
Yeah, they refer to the brooms.
Right.
Which Liza thinks is hilarious.
She loves it. And that's the first thing about tradition. Like it or not, it sneaks in. And I was like, Mike, I always find a way to sneak in tradition. Tradition!
So they break the glass, and yeah. Then Liza sings.
Yeah, I no one told me. Everyone's like, this. The thing that it is I get, like, those of you trying to, like, keep Sex and the City under wraps for me, but not one person has ever said, oh my God, like, why do I not know that Liza Minnelli does a full routine of Single Ladies? I
was like, with the original choreography.
Yeah, she's like, oh, 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 oh. But it's the first time I understood the words.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, because Liza, she's going to give you diction.
She gave me diction, and she gave me, like, legato, and, like, you know, I could really hear those. Up in the club, we just broke up, doing my own little thing. Decided to dip, dip. Now you want to trip, cause another guy noticed me.
Dadra, what is happening?
Mm-hmm.
We determined that Rose is up in the room. We hadn't really talked about the second child yet.
Rose. Yeah. I assumed it was Rose, not like Rose Nyland.
No, it's Rose Nyland. We find out later on. No, it's their child Rose with the nanny.
Mm-hmm.
And she's either making them crazy or she's a little fussy. It depends on which parent you ask.
Right.
And you can tell that Charlotte is already very defensive mm-hmm. about it. Charlotte is very defensive many times in this movie.
Right. Many times, always.
Yeah. I think that she has an idea of what things are supposed to look like. And when they don't, she gets very nervous/defensive.
Yeah. Have you met Charlotte?
Yeah. So Miranda makes a joke about single ladies and Steve gets all Steve. I wrote,
now I know why we got married. So we wouldn't have to dance to that song at weddings.
That's the only reason.
Come on.
And Miranda gets a message from the new senior law partner who hates her.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't get into this a whole lot, just that for some reason he hates her. So then we get to Michael T. Weiss hitting on Big.
Okay.
And I'm mostly like, he has a wedding ring on.
It doesn't matter. You're gay.
I wouldn't hit on someone if I saw they were wearing a wedding ring.
You wouldn't hit on anyone.
Well, that's very true. But still, respect the ring. This actor, he was on a TV show called The Profiler.
Okay.
He was also the love interest in the movie of Jeffrey. And I love that movie.
I have no idea what it is.
Oh, it's based on an off-Broadway play. I think it was only ever off-Broadway, but it was a play by Paul Rudnick. Yeah, and the movie was Steven Weber, and then Michael T. Weiss played the love interest. Sigourney Weaver's in the movie in a little part. Patrick Stewart's in the movie. I want to say that Catherine and Jimmy, like, it's a lot of famous people took little parts in this movie. It's very good. I loved it from many, many years ago. But anyways, that's who this actor is. And I guess Big is complimented.
My guy just hit on me.
Really?
I still got it.
You most certainly do.
And Kelly O'Hara is a big fan of Carrie's writing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to bother you, but I'm Kelly O'Hara.
I mean, for those that don't know, she's a big Broadway actress.
Yeah.
Tony winning. She's done. What are her big ones? She won for South Pacific. No, she won for King and I. Mm-hmm. She was also in South Pacific. She was in the original Light in the Piazza.
Nice work if you can get it. If you get the DVD of Jekyll and Hyde starring David Hasselhoff, she is in the ensemble.
Oh, I was going to say, what does she play? She's in the ensemble.
Yeah.
She did Pajama Game. Mm-hmm. So I saw her in Light in the Piazza, and then really soon after that, she did Pajama Game, and I definitely did not think it was the same person.
Oh, wow.
Like, I had to be convinced. I was like, there's no way that's the same performer that I saw. She's quite good.
Yeah, incredible.
And yeah, this is an interesting scene.
So it's going to be just you two?
But she does have a new book coming out next month.
Great, great. What's that about?
Marriage.
Well, have a nice night.
And I think that we're setting up a thing that we've talked about here, that we all think we're Carrie. And we get mad at Carrie when she doesn't do what we think we should be doing.
Right.
Or what we want to be doing. Because they can't believe that they're not going to have kids.
Yeah. They're like...
And this conversation makes me insane.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's... When this was like... When I was watching it, I'm thinking, this isn't real. No one would ever say this to someone.
I don't know. I mean, I know people like I know plenty. I mean, it's not the same thing, but like I have girlfriends who don't want kids
mm-hmm.
who are told all the time, like, oh, but you'd be such a good mother. Oh, you'd love it if you did it.
Mm. Yes, I understand that. And I understand that this conversation happens. I don't think it would happen the way that they did it. But I think that's the point. I wrote, Kelly, don't be weird. Not everyone wants kids.
Yeah, it's very annoying. And then I wrote, whose parents are these? Turns out they're Stanfords.
Yeah, duh.
Did you? I didn't know that just by looking at
it. Oh, yeah, of course.
I had to look up the credit and be like, oh, they're Blatches. Okay.
Yeah. And we go into Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered, which I love that song.
And then Norm Lewis and Manuel Herrera are talking to Samantha about what she's had done.
I wrote, Samantha is talking to me.
What?
Do you know the story of Elise Castle is Norm Lewis?
Oh, I think that I have heard this story before.
You guys, this is like, okay. So we worked with these two friends, these two male friends who kind of looked alike. And so we joked that they should be in a production of Sideshow together, which is the show about the Siamese twins. Was this relevant?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. It's the show about Daisy and Violet, who are the famous Siamese twins that were in the Sideshow growing up. And Norm Lewis was also in that show. And they were like, yeah, you guys can play Daisy and Violet. And I said, I'll play Norm Lewis. And they'd be like, not the character. I think it's Jake is the name.
I actually don't know that show really at all.
Yeah. They're like, because I couldn't remember the name of the character that Norm Lewis played in that show.
So you're not playing the character. You're playing Norm Lewis.
Yeah. As I just Googled Norm Lewis. So yes, it is. It's Jake. Wow. So we always joke that it's going to be Elise Castle is Norm Lewis as Jake in Sideshow. Really long story for just that. That's why I wrote, Samantha is talking to me.
Yeah, I think of him from, he was on the Broadway, he was in the Broadway Wild Party. And then I always think of this Manuel Herrera as one of the monkeys in Wicked.
Was he?
He was like the main, I feel like he was like the main monkey for the opening cast.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And I saw it 4 times when it first opened.
Those monkeys creep me out.
When, oh my gosh, we're telling so many random stories. But when I saw it the first time, I had won the lottery. So we were sitting in the front row on the aisle and I was seeing it with my friend Patrick. And there was a rope that came down right next to us. And Patrick was like, I wonder what that rope is for. And I was like, it's where the flying monkeys come down. And Patrick was like, "That is, don't even say that. That is a terrifying thought. Yeah, it's where the flying monkeys come down.
And they're creepy.
They are very creepy. Anyways, this guy's done. He's done so much Broadway, but that's where I go with it. Nikki approaches. Samantha, of course, gets right to the sex.
Yeah.
You looked pretty hot out there before. Want to dance again?
I can think of so many other more fun things I'd rather do with you.
I mean, you can't even be like, the food is good. It has to go right to like, I can think of better things to do.
Yeah, I just wrote, relax, Nikki.
And I wrote, even for Samantha, this seems like a bit much, but I guess at least we see condoms.
Yep. I literally have written here, relax, Nikki. At least there's condoms on the floor.
Because yeah. I'm just, come on.
Like,
there are people around.
Well, there are people around. And also, like, I'm worried for her pelvic bone. You know, like something's going to crack at some point.
Yeah, it's a bit much. And then Rose is screaming.
Not happy.
What did they do to this child, though? When I see a child screaming on, like, film or television, that child isn't acting. They weren't like, hey, two-year-old, pretend like you're real mad about something. Like, this child is actually going through it.
Yeah, I don't like that.
So I get a little bit worried about that. And then Carrie and Big are in the room between the two.
I love this line.
I don't know which is worse.
Samantha. The baby will tire eventually.
That is the bad. I do really like that line a lot. And so they put a movie on, and it's It Happened One Night.
There, Big and I were somewhere between wild sex and a baby.
Carrie makes a year old joke, and I'm like, I wonder if those ever get old.
Yeah, when she's like, did you go to the premiere? Yeah. Because it was in 1930.
Fun fact, this was the first movie to win the top 5 awards at the Academy Awards that it won. Mm. Picture, director, actor, actress. I'm missing one. I think writing. I think that's the 5th one.
A real Hamilton, if you will.
Except for that didn't win lead actress. Because Color Purple. No one was going to beat.
Yeah. Cynthia Erivo.
Cynthia Erivo. So the next day it's ladies at brunch and they're waiting for Charlotte.
Samantha's in menopause.
Yeah. She's counting her pills. She's taking 44. Is that 44 at one time?
Who knows? It's a lot.
She's leading the way through menopause for the other girls and reading Suzanne Summers.
Mm-hmm. I remember the Thigh Master very well. My mother had one.
Squeeze your way to tighter thighs.
Yeah. My mom had a Thigh Master.
I don't think mine did, but she may have. They were definitely a big deal. Mm-hmm. Charlotte brings the girls, but the nanny's coming.
Oh, I thought it was just going to be the 4 of us.
Don't worry. The nanny will be here in a minute. Harry's just not back from playing golf with the guys.
Oh, look here. Let me hold that pretty little morning rose.
Okay, no, Sam.
Oh, she just learned the word no.
Oh, well, good for her. We're hoping that Samantha learns it one of these days.
Terrible twos.
No. She's not terrible.
No, of course she's not terrible. The terrible twos are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, I wrote Charlotte is very defensive. And there was a swallowing joke.
How are you going to swallow all those?
Have we met?
Aaron is here. And I mean this for real. Isn't that uncomfortable?
I don't know, Mike. I barely, I don't have boobs here. I could go braless and run like that and nothing would happen. But yeah, I mean, my friends that have bigger boobs have said that it's very uncomfortable and it's hard for them to find sports bras. And
yeah, I just feel like that would, I don't know. It looks,
well, I don't think it's a real life. I mean, I think this is an exaggeration. Okay. And the way they're moving, too. They're, like, going round and round and round. So that's Erin.
Yes, Alice Eve is the actress's name. She was recently in that Bombshell movie.
Mm-hmm. She's actually British.
Yeah, she's Irish in this. And we have an Erin go bra pun.
So we can say
Erin, more like Erin go braless.
Yeah.
Now, fun fact, I had never even heard this phrase before until a crossword that I did, like, 2 weeks ago. And I had no idea. I was like, Erin go. I have no idea.
You've never heard Erin go bra?
If I've heard it, it didn't register with me. Mm, it means Irish forever.
Yeah, it's always on like St. Patrick's Day stuff.
I don't know. Never noticed it. I'm not Irish.
Right. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's like being like, yeah, I've never heard Feliz Navidad. Sorry.
Is there a song that people sing every year called Erin go bra?
It's all over. Like every sort of, I remember in elementary school, there were like signs that said it for St. Patrick's Day.
I mean, I'll see it now. And then we get a Jude Law joke that's super dumb, but totally made me laugh.
There ought to be a law against hiring a nanny that looks like that.
Yeah, the Jude Law.
Did he do this with a nanny?
Yes.
Jude.
Yeah. I'm sad because I still think he's super hot. Mm-hmm. But I have, you know,
Mike,
I won't
doesn't
marry
do well
him
with
now.
Cheating.
I don't. Bothers me. Just don't do it. And the men are pretty openly gawking.
Yeah. All the guys are looking at Erin's boobs.
It's a bit much. So later that day, they arrive home, Carrie 12B. And Big. Yeah, we learned they sold the penthouse and moved down a few floors, but they still have an insane closet.
Right. I wrote, sure, Carrie. Very down-to-earth apartment.
Right. And they also have, like, his and her sides of the closets. Like, it's very ornate. And I like her thing of, like, it's 4:30, where should I make a reservation? Because they're just those people.
Yeah, I guess I was wondering that. Like, I guess people do that. Like, people with a lot of money.
We just always go out to eat.
And we wait on them.
There's no food in the apartment.
Mm-mm.
Big wants to stay in, and Carrie seems bummed. And I guess we're now setting up this theme.
That she doesn't want to be the two old people, two married old people.
Yeah, like, she wants adventure in the great wide somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
come on, you knew when you married me, I was more Coco Chanel than Coco Van.
Let's just order in.
We ordered in two nights last week.
Their couch had a year and a half wait. I've heard of this being a thing.
Really?
Yeah, I can't. I don't know if I've ever heard a year and a half. I've heard like several months. Like you go in and pick something out. They're like, all right, that will ship to you in 6 months or something like that. Yeah. The more expensive it is, the longer it takes to get it.
Well, yeah, because they have to build it and it's not just like from an Wayfair factory.
Yeah, that's where I get all my stuff, basically.
Yeah, like IKEA.
Yeah. Big has his shoes on the couch.
Which I thought maybe she was going to yell at him for just having house shoes in general, for being like the old man with house shoes. But no, because those are actually driving shoes.
And then the doorbell rings and it's the rest of the luggage. What do we think that means? We think that means they had it in the lobby and
the doorman
bring it up. All right. I was a little confused. I was like, did they ship their luggage?
No. That's just another thing that rich people have.
Tell me more about rich people.
Well, they have doormen.
Doormen. Sometimes two at once. So a few days later, we're at Miranda and Steve and Brady, who looks quite different. It's the same Brady, but he's all grown up.
All grown up. Cute Brady with his little mouse maze.
Yeah, he does have a mouse inside and Magda wonders why.
Why bring rat and familiar cops?
I love Magda. Mike loves mouse.
I do. I enjoy, this is going to sound kind of weird, but I enjoy a rodent. Like, I enjoy a mouse or a rat or like a gerbil.
But
or
what
like,
about when the rat is in your apartment?
No, they can't be in my apartment. That's the problem. And even mice. Like, I love them, but they can't be in my apartment. So yeah, Miranda hates her job. And this is where Steve thinks that she should quit.
Yeah.
You don't have to keep putting yourself through this. You can quit.
I'm a lawyer. That's who I am.
Life's too short. Go someplace where they appreciate you. And until you find a better job, you can be home and help out around the house.
I've waited too long to get here. I just have to suck it up.
And I guess I get that it's not as simple as that.
No, because she needs another one. And
yeah, Miranda's at work and Neil Bledsoe is talking. Did you recognize this guy?
No.
He was on Smash. And we meet the jerk boss.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, psst.
Yeah. And Miranda's had it.
Is there a problem?
I don't know. Is there?
Did you have something you'd like to say to me in private?
I don't know that it needs to be in private.
And I don't know that I knew watching it that she was about to quit. I thought she was going to just tell him what she thought. But no, we cut to she shows up at Brady's and has quit her job.
Yeah.
And Brady won.
And I love that she, it's like, first prize goes to Brady and his mouse maze.
I made it. I never made it.
I do like that.
Maybe a little like, oh,
no,
she's
it's
here.
Very, it's an emotional moment.
I love that.
And that teacher is Salinas Leval, I think I'm saying her name.
Okay.
Hopefully, maybe something close to correct. She's Gloria from Orange is the New Black.
Oh, yes.
She's done a ton of other stuff, too.
Like, Gloria's the mom.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
And she comes into our restaurant from time to time, and she's quite nice. We're at Charlotte's, and it's suddenly a wet t-shirt contest.
I have written here, Aaron is having a wet t-shirt contest. Gross.
It's okay. I want to say something real fast.
Okay.
A woman's breasts are not sexual objects inherently. They're there to feed children. I'm not saying anyone should be ashamed of them. I'm not saying that, like, put those away, they're dirty. I do think maybe in this situation, we've gone a bit far.
Yeah, Harry's hosing her down.
It's too much. Yeah. I'm not trying to shame anyone. I'm just saying something could maybe be done at this point.
But Sex and the City does this. You know, they're not in this movie in particular. It's not like based in realism.
Sure.
It's like we've made a comment that this woman doesn't make a bra, that this woman doesn't wear a bra. So how far can we go with this?
They go pretty far.
Yeah.
That's it for part one. For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. And don't forget to check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone, put a link on Facebook or tell a friend, take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. Most importantly, stay safe, and let's all take care of each other. We'll be back next week with part two.
Yeah, but now BC would be like before COVID.
Oh, goodness.
Wait. What's the one I'm thinking of that's not Fatal Attraction?
With Glenn Close?
Nope. With Susan Sarandon.
That's a new one. Susan Sarandon, Bull Durham? That's a baseball one.
Kim Basinger.
Kim Basinger was in a movie called Blind Date. I'm trying to think of romantic comedies.
It's not a romantic comedy.
Oh, it's not.
It's like a really sexy movie. No, it's like Fatal Attraction. Was Fatal Attraction like just Glenn Close?
It was Glenn Close. It wasn't really a romantic comedy. It was actually a thriller. That's
okay.
That's just my joke.
Oh, then I think who else is in that?
Michael Douglas.
I feel like this is like a real like sexy movie that I'm trying to think of and I can't remember.
Like Basic Instinct?
Yes.
Oh, that's Sharon Stone, so cool. We got nowhere near there.
That was where the Susan Sarandon thing came from.
Very similar actresses. The same initials. I get what got you there.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fun journey.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
oh,
we're
I did.
Going for, yeah.
I clocked it. Wow, yeah, look at that.
She can't tell you who Susan Sarandon or Sharon Stone is, but she can tell you who a lead singer of an 80s band was.
Yeah, this is my brand. Duh. I mean, it's fine. Yeah. I don't think I finished Smash.
Yeah, I think it was just in the second season.
But I don't think I watched much of that.
How dare you.